to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Monday morning here in Brevard County, Florida, and you're listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are glad that you have tuned in today right here on WMIE 91.5, today's Modern Worship. So today we want to start off by saying thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that you need to have done, give them a call. They are fantastic at what they do. They have lots and lots of experience, decades of experience. They've probably got more experience than years I've been alive. And then when you factor in the various people, I was just pretty much talking about one person in that, but you factor in the other employees and you get probably close to a century, if not over a century, of concrete experience, working for you to help your project be a success. If that's the type of skill set that you are looking for, if you want somebody with experience, good experience, hardworking, and the expertise needed for the right materials and the right tools to be utilized at the right time to bring about the correct result for you, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. I know that a lot of times you don't have many opportunities in life to use a concrete contractor, but when you do, you really want to get it right, and you want to get it right the first time. If you've ever seen a job that they didn't get it right, it creates serious problems. So 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So next week, beginning next Monday, I believe it is, WMI is hosting their fall offering event, where for the next 6 months they are looking for people who are partner with them to make sure that the operational expenses of the radio station are covered. That's, you know, all of the equipment and stuff like that. You think it is challenging when your toaster gets fried by lightning. You wouldn't want to see what some of these guys have to do whenever a lightning storm comes around. It's it can be a bit of a challenge. So there are those expenses. There are all sorts of expenses. I had a person that called me at the church here not too long ago. They were wanting to come and help us out with our electric bill. And I said, you know what? I don't think you're going to be able to do too much. I said, my electric bill at our church for multiple buildings is just a little bit more than the electric bill at my house. And my house is just a fraction of the size of what the church is. So we're pretty good. And I explained to him the programs that we had in place and the ways that we had enhanced our electrical efficiency. And he said, you know, that's really good. I just wanted to make that offer to you. He said, Pastor, I will just tell you that there are other churches that do not have that same fiscal blessing going on in their life. They told me about a church that their electric bill was more than our total church income, and that was just for 1 month. Now, it's a massive, massive complex. And you know, they reach a lot of people for Jesus, but it was like Oh my goodness gracious sakes alive. That was a serious, serious electric bill. So I'm not only thankful for, you know, our electric bill being down, but I'm thankful that God's provided for them that they could pay. You say, why are you telling us this story? If I don't even know what the electric bill here is here at the radio program, but you think about the power that it takes to put out this signal across all of Brevard County. There's multiple stations, but this is just one station that we're having the offering for, WMIE. And so if you feel led to help make sure the message of Jesus Christ gets across Brevard County, give them a call and let them know you want to be a part of it. 321-632-1000. Tell them you heard about them on the Fresh Radio program. So on Friday, we started talking about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God and how Gentiles seek wisdom. And seeking wisdom is a good thing as long as you are seeking wisdom in the right place. You want to seek an eternal wisdom. You want to seek an irresistible wisdom. You want to seek a wisdom that is going to bring about victory into your life. And so we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was sitting here looking at the number 10 I had written down on a piece of paper. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. We'll read through verse 25. We're not going to read as much as we did on Friday's program. Verse number 19 of 1 Corinthians 1 says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So, first of all, God says here, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Okay, so we're not supposed to be wise in our own eyes. We're supposed to operate with the wisdom of God. Now, last week we had talked about how the Gentiles, that there were people who were seeking to establish their own righteousness with the purpose being that that meant they would not have to submit to the righteousness of God. That was their mindset. If we can establish our own definition of righteousness, then we don't have to submit to what God has said is righteous. The same strategy is being employed with wisdom. If we can develop our own system of wisdom, then we do not have to yield to the wisdom of God. And God says, you can do that, but I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to render it ineffective. I'm going to render it useless. And so you can look in the Word of God and you can see over and over again where the wisdom of the world said that one thing was going to be effective and God flipped the script and it ended up destroying them instead of destroying God's people like they wanted. So Haman had a system in place. He was going to destroy the chosen people of God. And what happened? God flipped the script, and the wisdom that Haman employed ended up being used against him and brought about his own destruction. The same was true with Daniel when they tried to ban prayer They said, look, we're not going to bring about his downfall unless it has something to do with his God. They knew where his wisdom came from. They knew the foundation of his life. And they said, we're going to have to develop a strategy that is going to make his relationship with God criminal. And then we will just have him thrown into the den of lions. Well, they did that, but the wisdom of the world failed at that point in time because it failed to take into account that God sent an angel, shut the mouths of the lions so that they just sat there. And when the king flipped the script and they threw and threw those conspiring counselors into the den of lions, they did not even hit the ground before the lions had already sprung into action. The wisdom of God is extremely powerful. The wisdom of God is never threatened by the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world, however, is threatened by the wisdom of God. So he goes on and he says this, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? God has made foolish the wisdom of this age, or the wisdom of this world. See, you might seem like you are all wise, all knowing, until God shows up. And then he reveals to everybody the fallacies of that wisdom. And I don't care how successful, I don't care what kind of wisdom guru the world has deemed you. If it's not based in God, it's not going to yield eternal rewards. And that's extremely important. It is not just wisdom for now, it is wisdom for all of eternity. So the scripture says this. The Son of Man, this is in Matthew chapter 11, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. Okay, I'm going to say that again. But wisdom is justified by her children. Another place says wisdom is justified by her actions. In other words, wisdom is going to be clearly and evidently seen to be wise. And so if you are employing a strategy and it is not working out, you need to go back and ask God, okay, God, is this a timing issue, or is there a short circuit in the system someplace, or is this just faulty wisdom? Okay, there are three things there, okay? It could be just a timing issue. I know somebody that was extremely frustrated let's put it this way. Look, all of us deal with the timing factor of God. We want something to be done quicker than what God is ready to do it. I know two people that were seriously troubled about the timing of God, only to find out that God was simply working on the other end of the equation to bring that person to a place where, first of all, they could be ready, second, that they could be available, and third, that they could be willing. So you need the wisdom of God. So I came to Florida because my wife was praying. I knew she prayed. I didn't know that what she was praying about, but she was praying for a change in my job situation because she said, God, this job is not going to result in the type of family that we are looking to create. God, this needs to change because it's not wise. I was working 6 days a week and having to travel long distances for not a lot of pay. And She said, it's not what we're called for. It's not what we're looking for. And God, you've got to change the situation. And God changed the situation. Made less money, but had a higher quality of life. So money is not the end all. The world will tell you that you've got to have money, 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 and more money. Well, let me tell you, you need the wisdom of God, and you need the power of God. You need the truth of God. You need the words of God, the message of God. That's really what's necessary. Money is essential, but we don't look for that as our source. We say, you know what? If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else is going to be added unto us. So God makes foolish the wisdom of the world. I have this strategy that I employ, and that is if a person is arguing something that is just absurd from the Word of God standpoint, I just take it to its natural conclusion. Okay, that might be something that you say at step one, but what does step 100 down this path look like? And when you get to step 100, you see that even though you started off from the same launching pad as, you know, another place of wisdom, the destination, the trajectory was taking you farther and farther away from where you wanted to go. So you and I, we cannot afford to embrace things that are not the wisdom of God. Verse number 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Do you see that? Since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So this wisdom that is getting ready to be talked about that the Greeks were seeking after was something that was actually taking them further away from God than what they needed to be. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The world system of wisdom not only discounts the fear of the Lord, it abolishes the concept of knowing him altogether. So any society that you look at that is a godless society, okay, I'm going to make a statement here and you're going to say, did he really just say that? And I really am. Any godless society that does not know God is void of wisdom. Any godless society doesn't know God, actually fights against God, they are void of any wisdom of heaven. So why would you feast on faulty wisdom? What would you buy if you knew that it had an inherent flaw? What would you buy a car that you knew didn't run and could never run? Would you buy a house that you knew was going to fall down in a hurricane and there wasn't anything that could be done that would sustain it during a hurricane, and you know that there's a hurricane coming? Nobody would do stuff like that. Would you? I almost said, would you buy a clothing garment that had non-functional holes in it? And then I remembered, well, yeah, actually society does do that now. You know, jeans that we would have thrown away are now high fashion statements, and they charge 40 or 50 times what I would pay for a pair of jeans. And those are high fashion. You know what? That's a different style than when I grew up. Nobody would buy something that was permanently flawed. If a manufacturer tried to do that, if they tried to sell a flawed vehicle or a flawed product that had a dangerous and life-threatening thing, you know what they would do? The government would step in and say, this product is being recalled. The owner is going to give you back all your money, and they're going to stop selling this product. Except for we don't do that with flawed wisdom. We don't do that with flawed wisdom, even though that the world has abolished the foundation of wisdom. They don't know God, and God has been making mockery of their wisdom system ever since. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, or through the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. Okay, we've already talked about that a little bit on Friday, so we're going to move on. Verse number 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Okay, so whenever Paul, let's turn over back to the book of Acts. And chapter 17, verse number 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and said, and some said, what does this babbler have to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these things, times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, what? We will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysus the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Paul goes on and he starts talking to them. And they had a desire to hear. It was something new, something they had never heard of before. We live in America. We think that everybody's heard about Jesus, but many people have actually only heard Jesus used in a profane way, never in a good way. They've only heard Jesus mocked and ridiculed. Does that mean that we are supposed to cease and desist from trying to reach them? Absolutely not, because the wisdom of God compels us to try and communicate with those who are perishing so that they might be saved, that they might reach out for him, that they might long for him. And many of them mocked, many of them rejected. Our responsibility is not on their reaction. Our response is to give them the most anointed presentation, the most authoritative presentation of the opportunity that they have before them. And then they decide whether they are going to say yes to faith or no to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So, we don't necessarily focus on the failures because not everybody is going to say yes. Some did say yes though. And so we've got to realize what is going on. Say, you know what? You have a desire to know and to worship the unknown God. He said, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to make him known to you right now. Remember, we were just talking about a wisdom that did not want to know God. Okay? And Paul found an opportunity to make him known to a people who did not know him. Are we praying? Are we praying, God, would you create an opportunity for me to communicate the wisdom of God to those that I come in contact with? Would you create an opportunity for that I can present the gospel to them? And God, would you do a work in me so that I would be fully equipped so that I could share with them the gospel? And God, by your Holy Spirit, would you do a miracle in those people's lives so that they could be transformed by the grace of God? You know, there are a lot of things the church does really well. One of the things we are not excelling at is in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but in Paul chapter 2, he describes the different techniques that he uses when he's dealing with unbelievers and when he's dealing with believers. There are two verses that people quote, and they're both in the same chapter. They just have to do with two different audiences. I pray that God will use you and use me to grow his kingdom and proclaim the foolishness of the gospel to a people who don't know God so that they might actually come to embrace the wisdom of God. God bless you. I pray that you have a marvelous Monday and that you will tune back in tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The heavens, raise your